వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశం శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలిత శివశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధౌ దీనబంధౌ జగత్పతే గోపేషు గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరంగిరాజే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషవాణసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియ వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ్ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ్ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ్ 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 హరే హరే So we are on top of Badrikashram. This place is known as Managaon. So in Managaon, as you have seen when you entered, this is the last village of the so-called Indian territory. If you go 40 kilometers from here further, you will get the border of China. If you go further straight, but if you go this way and to the left side, there are no roads. The military started building the roads there. You can see the wires there. There are no border roads. That will take maybe 10 kilometers. Border of China is like that. So the gufa which you entered first when we came on the way, that is known as Ganesh Gufa. And the gufa which you just entered inside, that is known as the Vyasa Gufa. So Ganesh Gufa and Vyasa Gufa. Before we enter into the real understanding of this place or the real thing which happened here, we'll just see certain mountains here. Because there are different versions about these different mountains. But whatever is authentic, those mountains I'd like to mention. First is, onto that side of this mountain we are sitting, on the mountain what you are seeing on that side, below there is a valley. In that valley, Saraswati River flows. So Saraswati River, it is starting from just nearby here. Of course, it is starting from different place altogether. So we'll go there after this place. So this is known as the eastern side of the Saraswati River, and that is the western bank of the Saraswati River. Vyasa wrote the Mahabharata sitting here on the eastern side of the river Saraswati. Now, the western bank of the river Saraswati is known as Samyaprasa. What is it known as? Remember this name. Samyaprasa. So that is the place Vyasa wrote this great literature called Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vyasa wrote that thing. Now And let me start describing the mountains. The place where we are staying, the mountain, the foothill of that mountain, that is known as the Nara mountain. When you cross the river and go to the temple is situated on the Narayana mountain. So, Nara mountain and Narayana mountain. Onto this side you will find one small, not in small mountains, but simple small, snow and all is there. That is the Kubera mountain. That is where Lord Kubera stays. And generally, it is always full of ice. Now we find only very little bit ice here. So this mountain, you can lot of diamonds, gems, jewelries. So anybody wants to go and find out, they can find out, do some mining there. Even if you get one, it's enough. Hare Krishna, ab shanti rahiye, nahi to baithiye, nahi to chahiye. That mountain, what you are seeing, covered with the clouds, that mountain is Apsara mountain. On top of that mountain, there is Apsara Kund. That is where Naranara and Rishi produced all the Apsaras. So if somebody wants to become very beautiful, they can go there and take bath there. So, become Apsaras. So that story also we'll discuss. There is a mountain behind this which is not seen at present. It is only manifest in the higher dimensions. Though people say, they show some mountain and say this is Gandhamadana mountain. In the age of Kali, Gandhamadana mountain is unmanifest. Only till the end of Dwapara, the Gandhamadana mountain manifested. If you read the scriptures, you will find in Mahabharata, many places, the mountain named Gandhamadana. Hanuman lifted it. And even if you go to down south, Rameshwaram, they say there is one Gandhamadana mountain. But Gandhamadana means the smell, fragrance of Cupid. Cupid means very lovely fragrance. Lovely fragrance comes from that mountain. But now you don't get it now. So it is unmanifest. So if somebody in the previous ages, in Satya, Treta, Dwapara, if they had to go to Badrikashram, the address was Gandhamadana mountain. Like if you have to go to some place, you tell a landmark, isn't it? What is a landmark? From that landmark, it is easy to find where that place is. So, the Gandhamadana mountain was the landmark. And when people used to come to Haridwar or Rishikesh, from that point only they could see that mountain, Gandhamadana mountain. They could identify, the fragrance used to flow from there. And they used to walk all the way to Gandhamadana mountain and then see Badrikashram. Actually, originally Badrikashram, Naranarayan Rishi, he stayed in the Gandhamadana mountain. As I told, in the age of Kali, everything actually changes. The geography, everything changes. But there is only just some grass descriptions of what is so wonderful in the previous ages. Now in this age of Kali, the Nara and Narayana mountains, they are left as mountains where Narayana Rishi is doing tapasya and Narayana Rishi is doing tapasya. So these are some mountains. Some of them also say there is one Neelakanta mountain here. But Neelakanta mountain, what is being described in the Puranas, in the Vedic literatures, he is very far away from this place. The modern people, they have named these mountains as by different names. So there is a lot of confusion. So we will not go into deeper aspects of the confusion and try to resolve which mountain is what. We will just try to take the essence of what of this particular place. This place is the most glorious place. of Krishna showing mercy to the entire existence. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that Maya Baddha Jeeva Nahi Krishna Swata Gyan Krishna Kripa Kaile Kohe Veda Puran. Conditioned soul cannot understand about Krishna by his own endeavor. Because by our own endeavor and by our own sensual perception, we cannot get spiritual knowledge. We cannot know who is Krishna. We cannot know what is the goal of life. We cannot know who I am. So nahi swata Krishna gyan. Swata means by our own endeavor we cannot. So that is why Krishna kohe Veda Puran. Kripa kohile kohe Veda Puran. To show mercy unto the conditioned souls, he gave these Vedic literatures. For a conditioned soul, mercy of Krishna may be getting some nice bungalow. Mercy of Krishna may be getting some nice wonderful thing to eat. Or get mercy of Krishna means some material thing. Our kingdom. But from Krishna's point of view, his understanding of this word mercy is that I have given the Vedic literatures. So the word mercy has to be understood very nicely. Kripa. What we think as Kripa is actually not Kripa. Kripa means what Krishna gives, that is Kripa. What we want is not Kripa. There is lot of difference between what we want and what Krishna wants to give. What Krishna wants to give us, that is called Kripa. What we want, if Krishna gives, that is not called Kripa. That is only benediction, some vara, or some, you can use so many different words for it. But Kripa or mercy is that thing which Krishna wants to give us. So this is the place where Krishna gave us what he wants to give us. We are all concerned about what we want. What we want to get. But we are never concerned about what Krishna wants to give us. Of course Krishna can give everything. But what he wants to give? He wants to give these Vedic literatures. So this is the place, Vyasa Gufa, where the mercy of Krishna is flowing. Mercy of Krishna is flowing. So one of the reasons may be, somebody is asking, why Vyasa sat on top, giving us so much of difficulty all the way, come here. He could have sit in Bombay itself and wrote. Maybe he is sitting on top of this hill because mercy flows. Isn't it? Mercy flows. So that is the reason Saraswati is there next to Vyasa Gufa. Saraswati is Veda Swarupini. One of the names of Saraswati is Veda Swarupini. She is the personification of all the Vedic literatures. So she is flowing. And generally, whenever some liquid is there, it flows down, isn't it? So mercy always flows down, from higher to lower. So even in the grass form, Vyasa sat here and wrote the Vedic literatures. So the whole Bharatavarsha. Now you find this is the entire Indian subcontinent, which you can see from here. Whole thing. Though Delhi is the capital, so we will think so many things, headquarters and all. But this is the headquarters of Vedic literatures. This is where Vyasa made Ganesha write the Vedic literatures. And Vyasa personally spoke them. So mercy is flowing. Of course, when you go to Saraswati, we can see Saraswati is originating at one place, even from some one cave kind of thing. And from there, Saraswati flows only for half a kilometer. And she joins Alakananda. And she is unmanifest in the age of Kali. Because not many... Haribol Prabhuji? you sit further. Otherwise, you will doze off behind and then... it will definitely come. Even I am sitting in your place, I will doze off. I am not only used to giving class, I am also used to hearing class also. I know the difficulty of hearing. The difficulty in hearing also I know. It is so difficult to hear. Very easy to speak. Because after so much of climbing, troublesome thing, somebody is not well, and so much of change of weather, change of situation, change of food. But still, this is tapasya. But the amount of benefit what you are getting here, or you have got here in the past 2 days or few days, you cannot imagine that. We cannot imagine that. That is for sure. Because the benefit you cannot count with the file, like, you know, I got, okay, 1 lakh rupees profit. It cannot be counted. So the benefit what you are getting is immense. That is for sure. So now coming back to the point. So Vyasa, he wrote all the Vedic literatures here. And Saraswati is flowing onto that side. Of course, there is beam full also. That will go there. So, we'll discuss that event. The most glorious event which happened ever. When Vyasa, after writing all the Vedic literatures, what happened? Before that, we should know who is Vyasa. The word Vyasa refers to compiler. The compiler of all the Vedic literatures. He is known as Vyasa. Editor, compiler, etc., etc. And Vyasa is the... Very good. हाँ आइए थोड़ा सा आप हमको ज्ञान दीजिए व्यास गुफा के लिए आइए आइए आपका नाम हरिश्चंद्र कोटियाल जी को स्वागत करते हुए एक बार हरे कृष्ण मंत्र उच्चारण करेंगे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे महाराज जी लीजिए
मैं इस लायक नहीं हूं कि गुरुजी के सामने कुछ बोल सकूं परंतु आप जैसे भक्तों की कुछ प्रेरणा है और वेद व्यास जी की कुछ आज्ञा है कि हमारे भक्त कितने दूर से आ रखे हैं और व्यास जी के विषय में तो आपको पूर्ण भांति से आपको समझाएंगे गुरु जी मैं इस क्षेत्र के विषय में और वेद व्यास जी ने यहां पे क्या किया तो छोटे शब्दों में टूटे फूटे शब्दों में आपको बताना चाहता हूं देखिए सज्जनों बहुनि संत तीर्थानि दिवि भूमो रसासु च बद्री सदृशे तीर्थ न भूतो न भविष्यति इस रसमय भू क्षेत्र पे अनेक प्रकार के पुण्य धाम है परंतु जैसा पुण्य धाम यह बद्रिकाश्रम है इस प्रकार का पुण्य धाम न हुआ न होगा क्योंकि भगवान वेद मंत्रों के अधीन है उन वेद मंत्रों का प्रादुर्भाव उन अष्टादश पुराणों का लेखन श्री वेद व्यास जी ने इसी बद्रिकाश्रम के और इसी पुण्य धाम पे किया जिस पुण्य धाम पे आप लोग बैठे हुए हैं विराजे हुए हैं वेदत त्रिविधा ऐसा भागवत में शब्द आता है आपने जो वेद ब्रह्मा जी के मुखारविंद से जो वेद निकला था आपने उसको तीन भागों में बांट डाला इसलिए आपका नाम क्या पड़ा वेद और आप जन्म होते ही विशाल हो गए बड़े हो गए इसलिए आपका नाम पड़ा व्यास आप जन्म होते ही विशाल क्यों हुए क्योंकि आपकी माता श्री का नाम था मत्स्यगंधा इसके बाद नाम पड़ा योजनगंधा और जब आपका जन्म हुआ तब नाम पड़ा सत्यवती तो सत्यवती के गर्भ से आपका जन्म उस समय हुआ जिस समय सत्यवती कुंवारी थी लालन पालन की व्यवस्था कौन करे दूध की व्यवस्था कौन करे इसीलिए वेद व्यास जी जन्म होते ही और विशाल हो गए थे, बड़े हो गए थे, इसलिए आपका नाम पड़ा व्यास। इसके बाद आपकी मां की शादी हुई थी राजा शांतनु, भीष्म के पिता, गंगा के पति राजा शांतनु से वेद व्यास जी की मां की शादी हुई थी। काला स्वरूप होने के कारण आपका नाम पड़ा कृष्ण, और द्वीप में जन्म होने के कारण बेतवा और जमुना के द्वीप में आपका जन्म हुआ, इसलिए आपका नाम पड़ा द्वैपायन। बद्रिकाश्रम में बैठ करके सारे ग्रंथों का लेखन किया, इसलिए आपका नाम पड़ा बादरायण। वेद को तो चार भागों में तो बांट डाला, परंतु भागवत में एक शब्द लिखा कि स्त्री सुदुज बंधु नाम त्रैनो सुति गोचरा। किसी किसी के लिए वेद पढ़ने का अधिकार नहीं है, ब्राह्मण के लिए वेद पढ़ने का अधिकार नहीं है। कितनी ऊंची बात लिखी वेद व्यास जी ने, उस ब्राह्मण के लिए वेद पढ़ने का अधिकार नहीं है जो ब्राह्मण अपनी जाति को छोड़ करके और क्षत्रिय वैश्य शुद्ध से संबंध कर दे, पाणी ग्रह संस्कार कर दे। तो जिन जिनके लिए वेद पढ़ने का अधिकार नहीं, उनका कल्याण कैसे हो? कौन एक ऐसा ग्रंथ होगा जिसमें वेदों का रहस्य हो, पुराणों का रहस्य हो, शास्त्रों का रहस्य हो, जिसका ज्ञान उपार्जन करने से सबका कल्याण हो? तो ब्रह्मा जी ने कहा कि ऐसा ग्रंथ तो केवल महाभारत है। वेद व्यास जी ने कहा कि महाभारत में तो 1,00,000 श्लोक है, कलयुग आने वाला है, द्वापर का अंतिम समय इतने जल्दी कौन लिखेगा? तो ब्रह्मा जी ने कहा कि आप गणेश जी का आवन कीजिए। तो तब वेद व्यास जी ने गणेश जी का आवन किया कि तथा संस्मार ही रंभ व्यासो सत्यवती सुधा इसमें गणेशानो भक्ति चिंतित पूरक। गणेश जी आए, गणेश जी ने कहा कि मैं एक शर्त पर लिखूंगा। तो क्या शर्त थी? विघ्नेशु यदि मे लेखनी क्षणम लिखते नवतिष्ठे तो तदा श्याम लेखको हम। कि लिखते वक्त मेरी लेखनी रुकनी नहीं चाहिए, रुक गई तो आगे नहीं चलेगी, लाजा बोलना बंद नहीं करना। तो वेद व्यास जी ने कहा कि मेरी भी शर्त रहेगी, मैं भी जिस अष्टु को कहूंगा आप भी सोचकर समझ के लिखना। तो यहां से वेद व्यास जी बोले, नीचे गणेश जी लिखे, इनके लिए दूर नहीं होता सज्जनों, ये विष्णु के अवतार ही है। वेदों को रचने के लिए, पुराणों को लिखने के लिए विष्णु का अवतार व्यास का अवतार हुआ। परंतु वेद व्यास जी जब पूरा सरस्वती तीरे व्यास और सत्यवती सुता, वेद व्यास जी जब सरस्वती के किनारे पर जाके बैठे हुए थे, नारद जी का आगमन हुआ, तम दृष्टा परम प्रीति व्यास और सत्यवती सुता कृत्वा अर्घमासनम दत्ता प्रत्यक्षम कुशलम मुनि। वेद व्यास जी ने जब नारद जी को देखा, सबसे पहले आसन दिया, अर्घ से उनके पादों का प्रक्षालन किया, गंध अक्षस उनकी पंचपचार पूजा की, अंत में उनकी कुशलता को पूछा, सज्जनों ये हमारा हिंदू धर्म संस्कार है, कोई घर पे अतिथि आ जाए पहली ऐसी सेवा होती थी, आज के विषय में तो शर्म आती बोलने में, क्या कहें सज्जनों। वेद व्यास जी ने कहा कि नारद, मैंने तो सारे ग्रंथों का लेखन किया, तब भी यह चित्त जो शांत नहीं हो रहा। तो नारद जी ने कहा, आपने तो सब कुछ कर दिया, पर जब तक आपने जब तक आपने भक्तों को भागवत रूपी रस का पान नहीं दिया, जब तक आपने भगवान के गुणानुवादों का वर्णन नहीं किया वेद व्यास, तो तब तक आपका यह चित्त जो शांत नहीं होगा। तो अंत में वेद व्यास जी ने इसी माटी के ऊपर बैठ करके, इसी पुण्यधाम पर बैठ करके श्रीमद भागवत महापुराण की रचना की थी। तो जब यहां से पंच पांडव लोग स्वर्गारोहण की ओर जा रहे थे, सरस्वती को पार करने के लिए रास्ता नहीं मिला, उस नदी को पार करने के लिए भीम जी ने की शिला रखी जिसको भीम पुल के नाम से पुकारते हैं। परंतु प्रश्न उठता है कि भीम जी पे तो 7,000 हाथियों का बल था, तो क्या पंच पांडवों को एक एक उठा के पार नहीं कर सकते थे क्या? इसमें हमारे शास्त्र ने उत्तर दिया, सरस्वती स्त्री का स्वरूप है, हमारे हिंदू धर्म स्त्रियों को लांगना पाप मानते हैं। यत्र नार्यस्तु पूज्यन्ते रमन्ते तत्र देवता, इसलिए सरस्वती रूपी नारी को लांगना नहीं। वो जाके पहले शिला रखी और उसी शिला से होके गए जिसको भीमपुल के नाम से पुकारते हैं, वहां से वासुदारा, वहां पर धर्म जी ने जाके तपस्या की। धर्मस्य नारायण नरसी प्रवरत प्रशांत नष्कर्म लखन मुचारो योद्या श्री सवाद्यंग्री की वहां पर नन्नर के पिता मूर्ति के पतिदेव धर्म जी ने जाकर तपस्या की। उन्होंने अपने तपोबल से वहां पर पानी की धारा निकाली जिसको वासुधारा कहते हैं। परंतु सज्जनों, वासुधारा का अमूल्य पानी आज भी सबके ऊपर नहीं पड़ती सज्जनों, वहां पर आज भी जाके धर्म और अधर्म की पहचान होती सज्जनों, क्योंकि ये बद्रिकाश्रम है, ये तपस्या का स्थान है, ये सदगत मुक्ति का स्थान है सज्जनों, ये कैसा पुण्य धाम है। सभा या व्यंतरस्तु जी। इस सिद्धांत आने से दोनों की शुद्धियों का ज्ञान हो जाता सज्जनों। बाढ़ की शुद्धि के लिए भगवान ने कुंड की व्यवस्था की, गर्म पानी की व्यवस्था की। आप जैसे वृद्धों को इष्ट ठंड में ठंड ना हो जाए, कितनी देर है उस ब्रह्म की। और अंदर की शुद्धि के लिए भगवान बद्री विशाल साक्षात विराजमान है, परंतु न धामों का दर्शन कब होता है कि भाग्योदय न बहुजन्म समर जित नो। जब मानव के जन्म जन्मांतर के भाग्यों का पुण्यों का उदय होता है, तभी तो ऐसे पुण्य धामों का दर्शन होता है। वन्ना नहीं वहां से आगे अलकापुरी, जहां का वर्णन कालिदास ने मेघदूत में कर रखा है, यक्षों की नगरी को एक राजधानी अलकापुरी, वहीं से अलग नंदा निकलती है। वहां से आगे लक्ष्मीवन, जहां पे सबसे पहले द्रौपदी का अपार्टमेंट जाके गल्ला हुआ था, उसके बाद नकुल सहदेव आगे चक्रतीर्थ पे भीम अर्जुन का, वहां से आगे सत्यतंत्र जहां पे मुन्ने त्रिकोणाकार तालाब है, शुक्ल पक्ष के एकादशी को उस तालाब में ब्रह्मा विष्णु महेश अर्तन करते थे। इसीलिए तो आज भी इस गांव के भक्त लोग अपने पूर्वजों के पिंडों को संपन्न करने के लिए यहां से 25 किलोमीटर आगे उस पुण्य धाम पे जाते हैं। मार्ग पूछो मत सज्जनों, इतना बेढंगा मार्ग है। हमारे पिताजी कहते थे कि बेटा ये मत सोचना कि मैं सतोपन से घर भी आऊंगा, ऐसी स्थिति बन गई है मार्ग की, बहुत कठिन मार्ग हो गया है। वहां से आगे स्वर्गारोहण, कहते हैं कि जब धर्मराज युधिष्ठिर स्वर्ग के अंतिम सीढ़ी पे पहुंचने वाले थे, भगवान ने कहा उनकी परीक्षा ली जाए। उनके साथ तो धर्म रूपी कुत्ता तो था ही, अंत में कुत्ते पे कीड़े पड़े हुए, कुत्ता जमीन पे लेटा हुआ। धर्मराज युधिष्ठिर जी ने कहा कुत्ते के कीड़ों को निकाल दो, कुत्ता तो बच जाएगा, परंतु बिना खाके कीड़े मर जाएंगे, मेरे सत्य और धर्म क्या रहा। तो धर्मराष्ट्र जी है उस कुत्ते की कीड़ों की जान को बचाने के लिए पत्थर को मिला के दोनों पांव को काट डालते हैं, मांस वाले स्थान को काट डालते हैं। साफ शब्दों में लिखा हुआ है द्वाभ्याम अस्ताभ्याम की टिका मुत्ता स्वजम दद्यात, कि दोनों हाथों से उस कुत्ते के कीड़ों को बटोल करके अपने जान पे डाल देते हैं। कुत्ता भी रह जाए, कीड़े भी रह जाए, इस देह के विषय में तो क्या कहें सज्जनों। इस देह के विषय में जब भगनी हम तुम्हारा दिया, जब कंस महाराज जी जो है अपनी बहन को मानने के लिए तैयार हुए, तो वसुदेव महाराज जी ने कंस को क्या समझाया, अरे कंस मृत्यु जन्मताम वीरा देहि नाम सयाते अद्यवाब दशतांते वा मृत्यु वेद परिणाद्रुह, कि जिस दिन इंसान का जन्म होता है मृत्यु भी पीछे से पल्ला पकड़ के आ जाते हैं कंस। इसलिए क्यों इस नश्वर देव पर अभिमान घमंड करता है। और सज्जनों अभिमान और घमंड तो उसका नहीं रहा जिसकी सोने की लंका थी। बोल भगवान बद्री विशाल की, मैं गुरु जी का आभार प्रकट करता हूं जो उन्होंने मुझे दो शब्द बोलने का समय दिया। धन्यवाद।
हरे कृष्ण। तो जब ज्यादा टाइम फिर वापस हम जाएंगे व्यास गुफा में, जो हमको इतना सुंदर क्षेत्र का परिचय दिया है, इनके हमको दक्षिणा देना चाहिए। शुड गो एंड गिव सम चैरिटी। अस्तित्व में when we come to this dham, we are supposed to hear from the dhamvasis. That is the very important aspect. But many times it so happens that they give some information, but it is not really elaborate. That is the reason we require other classes also. But the main thing is what they speak. So they have been serving this. Service gives realization. So whatever is spoken is out of realization. So we should respect it. And when we go, we pay obeisances and then take blessings from him. Most of people here are all English audience. Yes. Yes. I've been speaking to them for past 10 days. Okay? So, so as I told that Vyasa means editor, one who edits, one who compiles. He's already explained that how his name also became Krishna Dvaipayana. Krishna because he was dark in color. And he was born in an island, the son of Parashara. When Parashara was walking on the banks of River Yamuna, he saw the constellations were so wonderful. The timing was so perfect. If a child is conceived at this particular time, then what happens? That person is going to deliver the entire existence. So what happened? Gradually as the time went by, He saw, whom should I conceive? Whom should I give my potency in? Then he saw Satyavati. And he told, I want to conceive a child from your womb. She told, oh, I'm not married. How can I do that? He told, don't worry. I'll maintain your virginity, Kanyapana. But still, I just want your womb, a place where my child can grow. So, Parashara conceived. And as soon as Vyasa was born, as he told, immediately became very big. So, Vyasa, so there is another meaning of it. As soon as he was born, he became very big. That is why it is also called Vyasa. That is a secondary meaning of Vyasa. Vyasa means one who edits, compiles. Another meaning is also there, one who became very, very big. So he told Satyavati, I'm going. Satyavati told, no, what is this? You are my son. But he told, in future, whenever you want to remember me, you remember me, I'll come. So Vyasa, as soon as he was born, he directly came here to this place. That is Badrika Ashrama. As I told, anybody who would like to do tapasya, they all would prefer to come to Badrika Ashrama. He came and then sat in this particular place. And wrote all the Vedic literatures. Actually, first, originally in the previous yugas, there was only one Veda. It was known as Yajus. But this one Veda was not put into writing. It was there as knowledge. There are no books like this, written, printed books. Vedic literatures were not in a written form. That is why these Vedas, they are known as Shruti. Shruti means those things which are learnt by hearing. I hear and then learn it. I remember it. In the previous ages, people had so much a powerful memory that just by hearing once, they could remember everything. They are known as Shruti Dharas. So, Vedic literatures were never put into written format. So, that is why there was no question of any written Vedic literatures. As the time went by, Vyasa could see in future, what's going to happen? Kali Yuga is coming. In the age of Kali, what's going to happen? Everybody's intelligence is going to be reduced. Not only that, Vyasa could see by the future, having pure vision, observed by his spiritual eye, that the dharmas of the yugas has been destroyed on the earth, yuga after yuga, by the invincible force of time, that the bodies had decreased in ability and the people were devoid of faith, dominated by rajas and tamas, dull-witted, short-lived and filled with misfortune. He began to contemplate on what would be the beneficial for all the varnas and ashramas. So then Vyasa, he thought, what is the most beneficial for varnas and ashramas? Let me do. So he took the Veda, one Veda named Yajus, and divided that one Veda into four parts: Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda and Atharva Veda. Actually divided into three parts: Rig, Yajur, Sama. And whatever was left over, it became Atharva Veda. So, and he gave each Veda to four kinds of performance of the sacrifices. Whenever the sacrifice goes on, there are four kinds of performance of sacrifice. Named as the Hota, the Udghata, the Dvayur and the Brahma. So these four kinds of Brahmanas who are engaged in the sacrifices, Vyasa gave these Vedic literatures to them, each Veda to one of them. And then he selected one disciple for each Veda. For the Vedas, Phaila, he became the responsible person for the Rig Veda. And Jaimini chanted the Sama Veda. Vaishampayana became learned in Yajur Veda. And Sumantu became in charge of the Atharva Veda. And gradually, as the time went by, Sutta Goswami says, my father, Lomaharshana Sutta, he became in charge of all the Puranas. In this way, the four Vedic literatures and the Puranas, Vyasa made five disciples and then handed over these five disciples, these five parts of the Vedic literatures, as Rig, Yajur Veda, Sam, and the Puranas. And then the Supreme Lord Vyasa, mercifully, to the most fallen, thus divided the Vedas so that they could understand, they could be understood by the foolish. What did he do? He took all the Vedic literatures and then he presented the same Vedic literatures in the form as a Puranas, especially for whom? For Sri, Shudras and the Vaishyas. And he compiled Mahabharata, as he was telling that how Vyasa was sitting here and Ganesh was sitting here, and each one had a sharta that Vyasa would say and Ganesha would write. Ganesha told, I can only write on one condition. What is that condition? You should don't stop, you should go on continuously describing the Vedic literatures. Vyasa told, I'll write, I'll speak continuously, but you can only write when you have understood it. So they started dictating, all the Vedic literatures was compiled, Mahabharata was compiled, everything was compiled. After the whole compilation of Vedic literatures, let us see what is Vyasa's realization. O Brahmanas, though he had been engaged in this way for the welfare of all beings, his heart was not satisfied. Just see, after writing all the Vedic literatures, after writing all the Puranas, there's nothing else left to be known. Vedanta Sutras were written. But still, Vyasa felt dissatisfaction. Being not completely satisfied in heart, sitting in a solitary spot on the bank of river Saraswati. Same place, bank of river Saraswati. I'm just directly reading from the first canto, fourth chapter, verse number 26 and 27. The knower of Dharma began to contemplate. He then spoke as follows. Then he started doing contemplation. What is the cause of my dissatisfaction? Why am I not satisfied? He told, I have respected the Vedas, the Gurus, and the fire with sincerity and strict vow, and observed all the rules. Through the Mahabharata, in which Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha for women, Shudras, what to speak of higher caste is seen, I have clearly shown the meaning of the Vedas. But still my soul situated in the body, though powerful with austerity and knowledge by nature, appears incomplete and inferior. Even though endowed with power arising from studying the Vedas, I studied all the Vedas, everything I have done, but still I am not satisfied. Then Vyasa, in his own mind, he has this realization. Perhaps my dissatisfaction may be because I have not glorified the path of Krishna Bhakti. I have not glorified devotion to Krishna enough. And the elevated devotees are alone dear to the Lord. He was thinking like this as Vyasa was lamenting, considering himself most vile. Narada approached this hermitage, which was previously described. Narada approached where Vyasa was sitting, the same place Narada came. As soon as Narada came, what did Vyasa do? Understanding Narada came, worshipped the devatas, had suddenly arrived. Vyasa worshipped him as if he were Brahma. Because Vyasa, he saw Brahma was the first person to receive the Veda. And Narada is the son of Brahma. So Vyasa received Narada as if he is Brahma himself. And Vyasa, spiritual master, is Narada. So then, the next chapter, the fifth chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam starts. The famous Narada, with Veena in his hand, being seated comfortably, while smiling, slightly smiling, then spoke to Vyasa, who was worshipping him. Vyasa made Narada sit on the elevated platform. He offered him water, he offered him all the puja samagri, everything, worshipped him, paid obeisances to him. And Narada was smiling at Vyasa. Why was he smiling? Because he is going to ask some question. Very, very typical question. What is that question? Narada is telling Vyasa, oh my dear great soul, you are son of Parasara. You are not an ordinary person. If you think that you are this body, if you think that you are this mind, do you think you can ever be happy? Do you think you are happy on the bodily platform, the mental platform? So his question is a very tricky question. Narada could understand Vyasa, his mind, everything. But within that he is asking a tricky question, in that the answer is already given. What is the question? The question is, if you think you are the body, is your body pleased with your body or not? If you think you are your mind pleased with you or not? So Narada immediately pinpointed the first and the foremost fundamental problem which every conditioned soul has. Though Vyasa is not a conditioned soul, he is Lord himself, he is Shakti Avesh Avatar. Of course, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the present Vyasa is Narayana himself. He is Narayana himself. So Narada is telling Vyasa, do you think anybody can be happy considering that I am this body? Dehatma Buddhi. This Dehatma Buddhi is of two kinds. Considering one's own body to be oneself, that is one thing. Considering one's own mind to be oneself, this is known as Dehatma Buddhi. So, Narada clearly told Vyasa, do you think anybody can be satisfied by considering himself to be body and mind? Then he says, you wrote the most astonishing Mahabharata, complete with all instructions, artha, dharma, kama, moksha. All that one desires to know is perfectly there in this book called Mahabharata. You cannot say that your dissatisfaction is because you have not done enough. You know dharma, artha, kama, moksha, and you have written Mahabharata, you have got so much of spiritual knowledge. Lack of spiritual knowledge is not the cause of dissatisfaction. Lack of scriptural knowledge is not the cause of dissatisfaction. Oh, not only that. You may say that lack of Vedanta, knowledge of philosophy, that may be cause of dissatisfaction. No. Jignyastam ritam cha brahmetat sanatinam tatapi sochasyatman hakritartha iva prabhu. Oh, my dear Vyasa. You have written so many literatures on jigyasam adhitam cha. A person's inquiry, whatever extent this inquiry can go to, you answer every kind of inquiry in writing these Vedanta Sutras. In spite of all these things, why are you dissatisfied? As if akritartha, as if you have undone. Then Vyasa, he starts answering. What you said about me is true. So this is called a disciple. Oh Lord, oh my spiritual master, I am totally dissatisfied. Whatever you told is true, yet my mind and body are not satisfied. I am asking the reason for this. Because who else is there better than you? Because you are the son of the self-bound, that is Brahma. Since you possess all the knowledge, you are the knowledge of the cause of my problem, cause of my dissatisfaction. Please speak about it. Why am I like this? The Lord is also, you, since you are an avatar of the Lord. So Vyasa, addresses Narada. Savai Bhavan Veda Samasta Guhyam. Savai Bhavan. Sa means the Supreme Lord. Why? You are that. And you know samasta veda guhyam, you know the secret. I wrote the Vedas, but you know the secret. Upasito yat Purusha Puranaha. And you have been worshipping that Purusha Purana, the Supreme Lord. Paravaresho Mahaneva Vishwam Sujatyavatyati Gunaya Sangaha. You worship the Supreme Lord, who is a creator, maintain and destroy the entire existence. I just wrote some Vedic literatures, but you are the worshipper, so you are a devotee of the Lord, so you know better about this thing, so please tell. You wander like the sun throughout the three worlds, seeing everything, and wander like life air throughout the body, as a witness of everyone's intelligence. Though I have become very proficient in the Vedas, and I have realized the Brahman by proper method, it is not enough. Please consider this. So he said, in spite of all, writing all the Vedic literatures, the Mahabharata, and writing all the Vedanta Sutras, still I am not satisfied. Please tell, what is the cause of my dissatisfaction? As soon as Vyasa surrendered to Narada, the same place, Narada starts speaking. Most famous conversation, establishing that how description of the Krishna's pastimes has not been done enough. That is the problem. He says, Bhavatanuditat prayam yasho bhagavato malam. My dear Vyasa, the problem with you is you are not sufficiently glorious, sufficiently describe the glories of Bhagavato, or the spotless glories of Krishna. Because your mind could never be satisfied with Vedanta, I think that writing of Vedanta is insufficient. So Vedanta means the end of all the Vedic literatures. Vyasa wrote Vedanta and he thought this is the end. Then Narada came and told, it is not the end. This is actually an end for a new beginning. Because the descriptions of Lord Krishna's pastimes are not done enough. Then Vyasa may say, No, I have described pastimes of Krishna in Padma Purana. You open Padma Purana and see, Krishna's pastimes are there. Then Narada tells Vyasa, you have described Krishna's pastime. But along with that, you have done so many other things also. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, you have explained that also. So people are giving equal weightage to both the things. They say, Bhagwan ka naam lo, chant the names of Hare Krishna. At the same time, you will get moksha, you do some dharma, you do punya. They are keeping everything on the same platform. This is an offense which you have done. God is explained in the 10 offenses of the holy name. To consider the names of Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities mentioned in the Vedas. To consider this to be equal to names of Krishna is wrong. So you have described Krishna's pastimes. Along with that, you also described dharma, artha, kama, moksha. People are confused. You're thinking both are same. On the name of Krishna's pastimes in the Puranas, you have done a big offense. Then Vyasa further told, oh my dear Lord, you are telling this, but it is not so. I specifically told bhakti is superior to bhukti. In Padma Purana, there is a verse which says that liberation is the highest goal in visiting the holy places, but devotion to the Lord is more superior to that. There is a verse in Padma Purana. Have you not read, my dear Narada? I have mentioned that devotion is superior to liberation. Now, answering that, Narada says, my dear Vyasa, you are described, but you are not described enough. You should constantly describe it. So two problems Narada mentions here. One is, you have not described the pastimes of the Lord enough. Number two, you have not described the glories of bhakti repeatedly. Going further, Narada says, the famous two verses which Srila Prabhupada quotes in the Upadeshamrita, the basic and the fundamental book which everybody has to read as a devotee. Tad nayadvachas chitrapadam harar yasho jagat pavitram pragrinita karhichit tadvayasam tirtham ashanti manasa nayatrahamsa niramancha sikshaya tadvagvisargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlakam avadhya vadhyapi namani rupani ashankitani shanvanti gayanti grananti sadhava. The 5th chapter, 10th and 11th verse, 1st canto. So Narada says, nayat vachas chitrapadam harayaresho. Vachas means those words. Chitrapadam harayaresho. Hari, yasha. Glories of Hari. If the glories of Hari are not the decorative aspects of our speech, our speech is not decorated with the glories of Hari, or in other words, if our speech is not glorifying Hari, the glories of Hari, Jagat Pavitram, they can purify the entire existence. Pragranita Karichit Tadvayasam Tirtam Shanti Manasa. Manasa, those who are very learned sages, what they do? Vayasam Tirtam Shanti. They consider that whole Vedic the literatures which are devoid of Krishna's pastimes as Vayasam Tirtham. Vayasam Tirtham means a pilgrimage of crows. Vayasam Tirtham Ushanti Manasa. Natra Hamsa Nirvanchu Sikshaya. And Hamsa, those who are devotees. Na Yatra Hamsa Nirvanchu Sikshaya. They never enjoy, they never go to the place. And they immediately give up that place. They take no enjoyment in those places. They ramanchu sikshaya. And then, after describing those words which don't contain Lord Krishna's glories, he says, the glories of those words which contain glories of Krishna. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo tadvag visarga. The glories of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the narrations of Krishna, they are what? Janataga viplavo. Visargo janataga viplavo. They are not of this material world. They are not within a part of this material world. They are completely divine and spiritual. And janata agaviplavaha. What they can do? They can destroy the sinful tendencies which are there in everybody's heart. Yasmin Pratashloka Vadhyodyapi. In spite, in every verse, in every word, there will be so many grammatical mistakes. They are not composed very nicely. But still, Namai Rupani Shokitanit. Because all the words which are there, they are glorifying Krishna's names, their pastimes, forms, etc. Yashonkitanit. Shunvanti Gayanti Grananti Sadavaha. Sadavaha, those who are loved with, those who are devotees of Krishna. Shrinvanti, they hear. Gayanti, they sing. Grinanti, they repeatedly speak about it. If there is a speaker, they hear. If there is no speaker, they speak. So this is how they do. If a hearer is there, present, they speak the glories. Otherwise, they spontaneously sing the glories. In this way, Narada explains, my dear Vyasa, the problem with you is you have not adequately described the glories of Krishna and you have not adequately established the glory of bhakti or shravana and kirtan, of hearing the glories of Krishna and chanting the glories of Krishna constantly, repeatedly, again and again, placing this bhakti or shravana and kirtan as the highest thing, and nothing, no other process is equal to it. In other Puranas, in other places, though you have mentioned these things, pastimes of Krishna, you made it one among others. That is your problem. That is the cause of your dissatisfaction. Then Narada says, Naishkarmyam apyachyuta bharjitam nashobate jnanamanam niranjanam kutapunashashvada badramishvare nacharpitam karma yadyapya akarmanam. Then Narada, he starts pointing out the defects of Vyasa or the literatures of Vyasa one by one. He says, first point, my dear Vyasa, already people are into karma. Already people are into running around and making money and then just maintaining their family. You don't have to teach all these things. Already by birth, this karma vasana is there in everybody. By writing the Vedas, you encouraged it. You are supposed to make them active in spiritual life. By writing the Vedas, you made them active in material life. Already they are active. It is like feeding ginger to a monkey. Already people are like monkeys. jumping up here and there, getting some money and then getting some sense enjoyment, and you gave them Vedas. And they thought, oh, I'll do this vrata, I'll do that tapa, I'll do this thing and then get that thing. Already people are materialistic. And on the name of Vedas, you are given an opportunity to become more materialistic. He says, transcendental knowledge, even though it is transcendental knowledge, it is Atma Tattva, if it is devoid of Krishna Katha, that is useless. Atma Tattva without Krishna Katha is useless. Even though Atma Tattva is so great, Atma Tattva means the descriptions of the difference between body and soul is so wonderful and so great, but still, that is useless without Krishna Katha. Then what to speak of that karma which is not offered to Krishna? So here in this verse, Narada criticizes Vyasa's the whole karma kanda section of the Vedic literatures. Ato mahabhaga bhavan mogadrik suchi sarva satyarato dhritat vrata. Oh, fortunate, therefore, since you have useful word, useful knowledge, spotless character, dedication to the truth, and determined woes, remembrance with attention, the pastimes of the Lord, which bring about liberation to all the bondage. The intelligent people desiring to speak on other subjects, who have developed other vision, becomes just disturbed, and there is no use of doing all these things. He says, Jugupsitam. You have created a great disturbance by teaching a condemned subject to people attached to material enjoyment in order to make them accept dharma, thinking that what you have thought is real dharma. They do not consider giving it up. Vyasa, you thought by writing Vedas people will accept dharma, but rather what they are doing is they have become more adharmic by accepting Veda. The wise person giving up material enjoyment can realize the happiness of the Lord who is beyond measure and then take to bhakti, setting an example for others, describe the pastimes of the Lord for those materialistics who are pushed by the gunas of matter. If a person, having given up his duties in varnashrama, tektva swajarmam charanam bhutam harir bhajanna prakvot pate tado yadi yatra kavabdharam bhutam suyakim kovartapta bhajatam swadharmatah. So Vyasa says, somebody may ask a question, oh, what is the point? One should work. If somebody gives up work, then if he just renounces, then what is going to happen if he just surrenders to Krishna? He may fall down. Then Narada says, there is nothing wrong in that. If a person having given up his duties in varnashrama begins the worship of the Lord's lotus feet and happens to deviate or not reach perfection, there is no misfortune for him at all in the future. But what does the person who follows all the duties of varnashrama but does not worship the Lord gain? There is no use of performing all the duties without Krishna. Better give up all the duties and accept Krishna. Maybe some fall down may be there. Don't worry, no problem. And then the second problem which Narada points out, he says, my dear Vyasa, already people are confused. They are not worshipping the Supreme Lord. Then you have put so many devatas. Worship that devata, this devata. In this way, you are completely confuse the people on the name of Veda. The person Susar Mukunda will never, under any condition, return to the material world, unlike practitioner of the other process. Remembering the embrace of the Lord's lotus feet, eager for the taste he has experienced, he will not desire to give up those lotus feet again. So you should describe bhakti, which is so nice and so wonderful, that even for some reason or so, if somebody gives it up, again he will come back to Krishna. Navai jano jatu katontanat vadadam mukunda sevai anvayadanga samsmutim. You possess useful knowledge. Please understand spontaneously that you are born as a portion of Supreme Person Paramatma for the benefit of the whole world. Therefore, please describe the glories of all the powerful Lord. The last argument which Narada gives to Vyasa is this. My dear Vyasa, who are you? You are the Amsha, the Supreme Lord. And the purpose for which you have come is not to write these Vedic literatures, just which is going to confuse people. Just write that one book. Because you are the Amsha, the Supreme Lord. You just glorify Him and don't do anything else. This is what is all in all. In this way, Narada spoke to Vyasa and left. And then there is a conversation with Narada and Vyasa. Narada describes the glories of serving the devotees and how he attained this wonderful position of being a servant of the Lord, transcendental preacher of the Lord. Narada himself tells his own life story in the 6th chapter. And then in the 7th chapter, Narada leaves and Vyasa is sitting on the bank of river Saraswati, on the other side of the bank. Because here he wrote the Vedas. He went to the western bank, this is the eastern bank of the river. And then he started writing. He started meditating, Samyaprasa. And then he could see the Supreme Lord, the spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord, the material energy of the Supreme Lord, and the living entity. How the living entity is under the external energy of the Lord, and then is suffering like anything. And the same living entity takes a shelter of the internal energy of the Lord, that is Srimati Radharani. Then how the living entity becomes very blissful. Vyasa could really see the whole scene within this area in his transcendental meditation. And then he started writing this famous Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam was originally narrated, we know, by Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami narrated Parikshit Maharaj. Sutta Goswami says of Naimisharanya. Whatever conversation happened between Sutta Goswami and says of Naimisharanya, Vyasa, he dictated and Ganesha wrote it. So this is the place we should pray to Vyasa that we should develop attachment to hearing Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam. Because Sarva Veda Itihasanam Saram Samudratam. All the Vedic literatures, everything is compiled and compressed in this one book called Srimad Bhagavatam. So we stop here because I made you wait long time here. I had to go back for lunch. From here we go to that Saraswati, that beam full. A beam has built a bridge. On the sides of the walls, when you go to Saraswati, some water comes out. That water is directly coming from Manas Sarovar. Manas Sarovar is this side. It is not very far if you go by helicopter. But if you go by road, then it will take a long period of time. Maybe it is about 50 to 60 kilometers, Manas Sarovar. So from there, some water comes. So those of you who may not be able to go to Manas Sarovar in this life, they can just take some water of that. Because this is non-different from Ganga. Ganga comes actually from there. So you can do that. And also there are so many dharas. Vasudhara, Apsara, Panchadharas. And there is Satopanth, Swargarohan. He has explained in short. If we have time, today evening we will discuss about that. But there is one very important thing which I promised to discuss, which is very important for all of you. That is a division of all the Vedic literatures, all the things. How all the Vedic literatures, Prabhupada has made into four books. So that gives you a lot of inspiration of reading those four books of Prabhupada. That, actually I take it as a 3-day seminar. I'll try to compress it and try to take it here because this is where Vyasa wrote all those things. All those things were discussed here. So we go there evening from 7 o'clock. We'll have a class in the evening. Yesterday we had the class in that ashram in Anantamath, in that dormitory. That is where we have class. So one important thing is everybody come together for prasad. That is important because our cook, he really got frustrated yesterday. One by one was coming. We should appreciate that he is alone cooking for all of us. And he is making sure everybody gets hot. So we should help him. So from here, will just directly go to Anantamat. So don't go here and there. Every one of us will directly go to Prasadam Hall and buy Prasadam together. And evening, only for this reason, I scheduled a class at 7 o'clock so that 8:30 Prasad. 8:30 Prasad, we can all have together. So 7 o'clock, I scheduled a class. From here, after having Prasadam, then you are free. Because some people wanted to go to Vishnu Sahasranam and all these things. So you can go again, have darshan, do whatever you want. And today, 7 o'clock, everybody get together in that hall. So that the remaining parts, whatever is important, whatever is left over, I can give another class. You can sing there. That is Sukhsare. And tomorrow, you take early rest today by 9:30, 10 o'clock. Tomorrow, everybody should pack their bag and keep all your bags, everything by 6 o'clock in the bus. Because we are going to take breakfast sharp at 6 o'clock and leave by 6:30 sharp. Because we are not taking bath in Nandaprayag, we are not taking bath in Karnaprayag, not taking bath in Rudraprayag. So if you want to take bath in all the prayagas, so you should be really quick. Don't have any plans of darshan for tomorrow. If you have a plan, go to the temple at 2 o'clock itself, stand in the queue. 4:30 you have darshan and come back. If you are stuck in the line, if you want to take darshan, then make sure you are here by 6 o'clock. This is our program. So, though this is a big austerity to discuss here, make you sit here, but this austerity will make you really please Krishna. Hare Krishna. So from here, just get down, go to the right, you will have all those places. The bridge built by Bhima, Saraswati River, and Saraswati River is very down low. There is a way to go there, but only those who are adventurous, enthusiastic, they can go. Something happens. You're not responsible. On your own risk.
But nothing will happen.
Nothing will happen.
That's sure.
Yeah.
What about the person who is supposed to be at 4 p.m. today?
Yeah. One more thing, this is also not a compulsory thing. After Prasadam, we'll finish Prasadam by 3:30, 4 o'clock. Huh? It's not compulsory. Those who want to go, it's free. Those who want to go to a gufa behind the temple, 4 o'clock you can be in the temple after the Prasadam. If Prasadam is at 4 o'clock, don't be there. And then 7 o'clock you should be back. It is all not a compulsory thing. Those who are interested, again climbing is there, so it's up to you. I don't know exactly.
Hey, who's this?
What is time?
6 o'clock. Prabhuji!
It's yours,
that Prabhuji. That's what I'm doing,
Prabhuji.
Please carry with you, no?
But with your lecture, it is clashing.
Vishnu Sahasranam is between Vishnu Sahasranam. Okay. And before what? No problem. What is this? Nothing wrong.
Sorry.
It's not a problem. You finish, even if it's from 6 to 7:30, you leave at 7 o'clock. Right? 7 o'clock, you jera the mat, like starts at 7:30. And Sayanati is at what time? 10 o'clock you can go there. No problem.
Do minutes.
Shane Aarti is
there. 10 minutes.
Depends, but depends how its crowd is there. It can never be before 10. Be there by 8:30 is prasad. Even if you finish prasad in 15 minutes, you are there by 9:15. 9:30 you will be there. Yeah, you go down, that's marked there. There's a right.
But is it, how far is it from here? As far we have walked from...
Hello? No. It is less than that. It is just maybe 100 meters.
Only 100 meters from here?
Yes.
100 meters.